The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Okay, ready? Set.
Go!
Let's go. Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. There we go. All right, now see how this is working out. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with you yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan, the guy that we call the other guy. Folks, if you'd like to check us out online, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Go to Facebook, Sons of Liberty Radio, Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook. Now, friends, while you're on Facebook, you can also go over to Bradley Dean, which is double E, Bradley Dean. And or you can follow me on my Twitter account, which is BradleyDean1. Phone lines are accessible, 1-877-807-9977. 1-877-807-9977. Now, folks, what I want to talk about before I give it over to the other guy here is I want to talk about the giftings of the prophets, and I want to describe what the prophets are. Folks, you're going to like this one because it's hot. There's a reason that Amos was hated within the gate. He wasn't a guy that was going around tickling everybody's ear saying, hey, how's it going for you today? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He says, no, prepare to meet your God if you don't turn. And we'll talk a little bit about Amos. But before I do that, friends, I just want to remind you that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. That's the proper way of saying it.
Like, that's right.
Theologically, it's kind of like a theologian would say it. Folks, this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, Mr. Other Guy?
Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in somebody else's head. There's always those pauses that they give. You know, we just did a correlation on Facebook on Sons of Liberty Radio, and it says this: Obama, you say America is not a Christian nation. Abraham Lincoln disagrees. The reason we bring up Abraham Lincoln is because he pays so much lip service to Lincoln, obviously sworn by the Lincoln Memorial, blah, blah, blah. But Mr. Lincoln made three very decisive statements regarding Christianity in our nation. One of them was this: in regard to this great book, speaking of the Bible, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to men. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. And this was after he received a gift of a Bible on September 7th as being a president. Then he went on later and said, I do not think I could myself be brought to support a man for office whom I knew to be an open enemy of and a scoffer at religion, that being the Christian religion. This is in July 31st, 1846, in a handbill. Another quote, again, this is the president that this administration gives so much lip service to, Mr. Abraham Lincoln. Another one says, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, this is Abraham Lincoln speaking, to set apart and observe a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. He said that in 1863 in an official proclamation of Thanksgiving. Now, people like that because it's correlating the two. Mm. A lot of people, you know, this
Jake,
is part
you know
of our
what
education.
I hear people saying right now is I hear people going after Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I hear them going after, well, that man was a tyrant.
Yes.
I see where people, I mean, because that's what's going through me right now. And it's like, you know what? But you got to look at the end of the man's life. It was like Andrew Jackson as well. Look at all the damage he did. I know, but look at the end of their life where they were actually soundly saved, some of them. Abraham Lincoln, I know as a fact, his life was changed after his son died.
Yeah, and more importantly, it was changed even more after Gettysburg. He said, even after my son died, I wasn't converted. He admitted that he came into office being an infidel. But this is the point I was making. Not that Abraham Lincoln was a Christian or a great president. It's the fact that this president pays him so much lip service, yet he's so anti-Christian.
Yeah.
He is completely anti-Christian. Abraham Lincoln knew, whether he was anti-Christian or not, that before the people, these type of proclamations were the only thing that would be accepted.
That's right, right.
And in this day and age, this president doesn't even accept that. He's bringing on Islam. But to bring the correlation of knowledge, You know, FDR gave a fantastic prayer about World War II.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they try to keep that prayer from being on the monument there in the World War II monument in Washington, D.C. But it was a wonderful prayer. Why? Because he knew that's the only thing America would tolerate and accept. And probably even in his deviousness, which there was a lot of it, he understood and knew a fear of God to the extent of, listen, this is the creator of mankind. I am walking completely contrary to him, but I know as a nation, we depend upon him. He made many statements similar to that. But a lot of you folks like that. Now, those are things you can get on Facebook on Sons of Liberty. Every day we're posting a quote, a comment. We're also doing a video on there, so I encourage you to like the
page.
Can I
go back to Abe Lincoln really quick? Just doing a little homework while you're talking. Abe Lincoln was an expert on public opinion. And, of course, you have to be.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, because if you can sway the public opinion, you can even override the law through the public opinion of those that actually believe what your opinion is rather than the law because of your ignorance of that law.
You look for a consensus, and then you try to read that. He said, he made a statement once, I've heard it said before, that he said, compromise, I love compromise. I try to get my opponents to do it all the time.
Yeah.
So he understood the sway of the people, and obviously using the slave card during the war of the states and things like that.
He said, whosoever can change public opinion can change the government practically just so much.
Yep.
Now, you have to be manipulating in order for you to identify it, or let me say it this way, to say it that way.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing for him to say it that way.
Yeah.
It looks like a snake. It slithers like a snake. It must be a snake.
It must be a snake. That's why so many people, that's why our founders did not believe in a democracy, because whether or not the people can be persuaded is irrelevant. What is the law that is the foundation which we rest upon? That's why we're a republic. And as Andrew Jackson said, after he became converted, but understood, but many of the people that served in office, presidents in the past, they still gave you Christianity because they understood that our republic was based upon that rock. It was based upon that rock, and we will move and we will have freedom based upon us adhering to that rock, being the Bible. Just recently, Matt Scrubs wrote in on Facebook and said, Bradley Dean, first, I want to thank you for coming out to speak to us here in Raleigh, North Carolina area. I hope you continue to reach out to the schools and share the Constitution with them. Thank you, Matt.
Well, Jake, weren't you just out there?
Well, I was in Raleigh, but
it was
when
you spoke.
Why don't
you give me some of your thank yous, and I can high-five you there.
Well, I didn't write any of those down.
Okay.
But I did get Matt's. I'm trying to catch up, because I've been gone for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Chris Kesterton, well, here's one, I guess. And by the way, he said, Jake, looking forward to taking the Constitution course and learning more about our Christian principles that helped create the longest-standing Constitution in recorded history. Again, folks, if you have not registered for the Constitution course, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. At the bottom of the page, click on the link, get signed up, 12-week course. You're going to learn all you need to know about the foundations and how Christianity impacted the foundations that you stand on right now in liberty. Jeff Gunther said, it's nice to finally hear somebody speaking the truth. And this one was my favorite. I believe he pronounced his name Hoodie Evans. Brother Dean, you are on the right course. I will support you when I increase my earnings. I am a black man that can see through all the lies and propaganda. The powerful elite in America and around the world helped murder the president right under our eyes, speaking of Kennedy, and told us a complete fabrication of the truth. So what do you expect 50 years later? Lots of luck in trying to keep the empire in check, Hoodie. Folks, every time you take a post and put it on Facebook, you are impacting the country, and I encourage you to continue to do so. Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook or Bradley Dean on Facebook.
I think that's awesome that he said empire. But let's go back to John Adams. The empire of
that's
what,
right.
Jake?
Law.
Amen. Bradley and Jake, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Phone lines are accessible, friends, 1-877-807-9977.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches every day, doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. And with a tax-deductible gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message. Call 1-866-233-0747. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
It's really refreshing that there is a media outlet informing us with truth and providing solutions, and really above all, Sons of Liberty radio program arms all of its listeners with the Word of God. Thank you for giving us content rather than the drab spiel that we receive on so many radio programs out there. There's true content and God's Word that backs everything up. I just really appreciate it.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I mean, that should knock the chocolate out of anybody, or at least scare the chocolate out of anybody. Folks, talking about prophets today. You know, Scripture tells us in Amos 5:10, they hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Ugh, this guy's like black and white, folks. I mean, he was black and white. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. He goes, hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Folks, it starts in the church. Talks about that in the book of Corinthians as well in the New Testament. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. And maybe that the Lord, God of hosts, will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. But he also talks about those that say, listen, you know, we just don't think it's fit to have that kind of a, you know, guy in our church, an apostle or a prophet, or as far as that goes, even a teacher or an evangelist or a pastor that really just nails it, man. We can't have that in America. You know, and I was thinking about this when I was actually going through the topic of prophecy, because it just, I wait for stuff. It just drops on me before I begin to talk about it. And I started thinking about Amos, and then I started thinking about in John 16 that they're going to ostracize you, they're going to kick you out of the church. Then I started to think about Charles Wesley, then I started thinking about John Wesley, then I started thinking about George Whitefield. And these guys were field preachers that were basically ostracized from the church. They were not accepted in the church, friends. So what they did is they became field preachers. And I think in a lot of cases, the Whitfields of the world, the Finneys of the world, the John Wesleys of the world, Martin Luther, definitely, just different kind of prophets. Yeah. They're all prophets going out, seeking and saving that which is lost. Here, listen to what Amos said again. He says, woe unto those that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? The Lord said, I despise your feast days, I hate, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Wow. He said, but let judgment run down like water, as righteousness as a mighty stream. This man was, and by the way, he wasn't the son of a prophet. He was called out of the flock to preach to the people that would not listen. And then he goes on, woe to them that are at ease in Zion, that trust in the mountain, or the arm of the flesh, which are named chief among the nations to whom the house of Israel came. I go on and on, and I'll begin to highlight more with Amos, but I'm talking about a black and white prophet. So what is a prophet? And then what we'll do is we'll get into definitions of what prophets are biblically, because there's different types of prophets. For example, Isaiah is called the silver-toothed prophet, or silver-tongued, I'm sorry, silver-tongued prophet. And then you got other prophets like Moses, very black and white.
Isaiah was a prophet in the courts. He was a statesman. He was literally in the king's courts.
That would be a hard place to be. Yeah, to stay on the even keel there. Mm-hmm. But let me go on, folks. The prophet in his day is fully accepted of God and totally rejected by men. No man can be fully accepted until he is totally rejected. The prophet of the Lord is aware of both of these experiences because they are his brand name. The group challenged by the prophet because they are smug and comfortably insulated from a perishing world and their warm but untested theology is not likely to vote him man of the year when he refers to them as the habituates of the synagogue of Satan. The prophet comes up to set up that which is upset. His work is to call into line those who are out of line. He is unpopular because he opposes the popular in morality and in spirituality. In a day of faceless politicians and voiceless preachers, there is not a more urgent need or national need than that we cry to God for a prophet. Because the function of the prophet, as Austin Sparks once said, has almost always been that of recovery. The prophet is God's detective seeking for a lost treasure. The degree of his effectiveness, my friends, is determined by his measure of unpopularity. Compromise is not known to him. He has no price tags. He is totally utterly worldly. He is unquestionably, controversially, and unpardonably hostile. He marches to another drummer. He breathes the rarefied air of the inspiration. He is a seer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just getting a witness here, friends. He is a seer who comes to lead the blind. He leads in the heights of God and comes into the valley with a thus saith the Lord. He shares some of the foreknowledge of God and is so aware of impending judgment because he lives in splendid isolation. He is forthright and outright, but he claims no birthright. His message is repent, be reconciled to God, or else pay the consequence. His prophecies are parried, his truths bring torment, but his voice is never void. He is the villain of today and the hero of tomorrow. He is excommunicated while alive and exalted when he's dead. He's dishonored with epithets when breathing and honored with epitaphs when he's dead. He's a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, but few make the grade in his class. He is friendless while living and famous when dead. He's against the establishment in ministry. Then he is established as a saint by posterity. He eats daily the bread of affliction while he ministers, but feeds the bread of life to those that will listen. He walks before men for days, but has walked before God for years. He's a scourge to the nation before he's scourged by the nation. Hello. He announces, pronounces, and denounces. He has a heart like a volcano, and his words are as fire. He talks to men about God. He carries the lamp of truth among heretics while he's lampooned by men. He faces God before he faces men, but he is self-effacing. He hides himself with God in the spirit place or in the secret place, but he has nothing to hide in the marketplace. He is naturally sensitive, but supernaturally spiritual. He has passion, purpose, and pugnacity. He's ordained of God, but disdained by men. Our national need, my friends, at this hour is not the dollar recover its strength, but that we save face over another scandal coming out of the White House. Or that we find the answer to America's dilemmas, we need a God-sent prophet to bring in the resolve. And rest assured, the resolve is always, thus saith the Lord, because it is the law as a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. And that is, by the way, America's answer. Just today, case in point, someone came forth and it was Reinhard Bonnke that said, God is going to save America. God is going to save America. That's great, and I never believed that he wasn't going to save America. I just wonder what America has to go through to be purged, to be saved.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear the context of what he was saying there.
Yeah.
Did you hear any of that, or was it just the headline?
No, it was the headline, but I know that we're hearing from other national leaders, Graham. For some strange reason, I have more of a trust for the son, Graham, than I do the father, Graham, because he's not diplomatic. He's a very black and white guy. And I know that Billy, back in the 50s, he used to preach out against communism, like in its face. I mean, he was a real preacher boy, and he's mellowed out. And what's scary about Billy, guys, boy, I don't mean to put any question into any man of God. He's anointed by God, and I'm not going to speak out against any man of God. But you do have to judge their fruit. The man's favorite president is the Bushes. And my gosh, they have a line of crime around that family like nobody's business. So I'm trying to get around a little bit, but what do prophets do? They go in, they're inside of the court's gates, they rebuke the kings, and they rebuke the Pharisees and the leaders, the chief priests and the scribes and so on and so forth.
That's where Isaiah was. He was right next to Hezekiah during the time when Jerusalem
was under judgment. Jeremiah was doing the same thing, and I'm not saying he was doing the same thing that Isaiah was, but I am saying that God always sent them to the kings and to the chief priests.
Yep.
Right to what?
Yep.
To those that were set up on their what?
Those that were responsible for the people and the sheep of Israel.
That's who were leading them.
Exactly. Yes. You know, I was just reading yesterday when I was doing, we do church on Sunday mornings. I did it with the kids yesterday, and we were talking about Psalm 35 and how the first prayer in Congress and just all the miracles uniting that. And they talked about George Whitefield for a minute. George Whitefield, 80% of colonists had heard George Whitefield. Some sort of sermon, read it, heard it. He was the most influential man in colonial America.
Wow.
Now, the Great Awakening was from 1730s to about the 1770s. And what happened in America is we were kind of, I don't know
Say
if the word
again,
is disenfranchised. The 30s to the 70s.
Okay.
So it was about a 40-year period where God just poured out his spirit in the colonies. At that particular time, you know, the colonies in the north, there was Congregationalists, then of course there was Catholics in the Maryland area. Then there was the Virginia, which had the state church of England. The Baptists were persecuted. There was Quakers in Pennsylvania. There was all these different denominations. And when the first person brought forth together in the first Continental Congress, I believe it was 1774, I think it was Samuel Adams or John Adams, one of the persons, they brought forth a motion to pray. We need to pray right now because what we're doing is monumental. Some of the most religious men in there rejected that claim because the denominations were so separate. The states were separate. We weren't unified. And George Whitefield's favorite sermon was called Father Abraham. And again, this is a man who spoke to 80% of the colonies and united them together as a prophet. Father Abraham was the sermon, and he starts by looking up into heaven, raising his hands, and says, Father Abraham, is there Catholics with you in heaven? And Abraham says, no. He said, is there Congregationalists with you? And Abraham says, no. Is there Puritans with you? Abraham says, no. And he goes on through all the denominations and he says them all. And Abraham says, no. The only ones that are here are those that seek after the Most High God, unifying them upon the Christian. So instead of all this division and this divisiveness, Whitefield brought the colonies together. And then, of course, we went on to declare
independence. Well, it's man-made commandments, making void the commandments of God.
Yep.
There's none other name heaven whereby men must be saved. And his name is Jesus Christ, friends. Not John Wesley, not Martin Luther. But though we have to keep in mind, friends, these were men of God that followed the Christ.
That's right.
And what happens is
pointed
men...
to him.
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. Follow me as I follow Christ, said Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. You got Bradley and Jake, Sons of Liberty Radio, talking about prophets. We'll be right back, sir.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your Healthy Start Pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com. that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. Med Kits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fem and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin B, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Yep, okie dokie. Phone lines are accessible, friends. Your radio show, 1-877-807-9977. Check out Sons of Liberty Radio on Facebook, Sons of Liberty on Radio on Facebook, and or go to sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. By the way, that number is 1-877-807-9977. Jake, I wanted to highlight something you were talking about. Because Daniel Webster said, hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands, because he said miracles do not cluster. And what has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Friends, hold on to the Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the whole world.
And what do you see nowadays? You see people looking to America to be that light.
That's right.
I mean, when a nation is in trouble, what do? They look to those that are good across the world, and there's very few that you can find as far as governments around the world.
Well,
people.
What do you hear when I say this? You have foreign people in Iraq and Afghanistan that are under attack through the military complex, trying to operate in restructuring New World Order, saying to the American people by whom they were supposedly attacked by, we trust that the American people will get back to the Constitution. Doesn't that tell us something, friends? That tells us that the politicians are at war with each other trying to create out of terrorism, and it's not us against them. It's politicians trying to create war to the bankers.
And it's our old foe, the devil.
Amen.
I mean, when you get it down to this, he hates God's creation. So he uses these freaks, or whatever we want to call them. These
devil's minions.
That's right. They have become his servants. To attack God's creation. So it's not that God is angry with Iraqis, or God is angry with Europeans, or God is angry with Americans. God loved his creation and redeemed his creation. It's the enemy of our soul. And when we choose, I'm just reading through Amos right now. Hear this, O you that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn? In other words, that we may maximize the increases of our revenue upon the people and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small. Look at the currency system. I mean, this is Bible prophecy to the max, but there's nothing new under the sun. The currency system, they devalue the dollar. They're stealing from you without even reaching into your pocket. It goes forth, and the shekel grade, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver.
Okay,
to make a merchandise of men.
Let me high five. Where are you at right now?
I'm in chapter 8.
Okay,
verse,
so Amos 5, let me go back just a little bit. He talks about seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as he has spoken. He again says, hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment.
That's right.
Again. And then he talks about in this chapter as well how they have taken wormwood. They've turned righteousness and judgment into wormwood, leaving off righteousness in the earth. What does that mean? Well, when you do a little bit of a study on it, you'll find that in that particular case, Amos 5:7, he's talking about how the judicial system is now selling justice.
Yep. As a matter of fact, Adam Clark, when you look at the commentary, this is literally what it says in that verse. He says, you who turn judgment into wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, like you just said, it means it causes him who obtains his suit to mourn sorely over the expense he has incurred in gaining his rights. So you have to go buy rights. When you're in a nation now where you have to buy your liberties,
yeah,
folks,
well, what's the message?
Get our liberties from God.
What's the message?
You got to hire an attorney.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly
right.
Get
through the appeals.
And let me say one more thing on Amos verse 6 or chapter 6. It starts out to woe them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, to those that are apathetic, to those that sit back and just roll with the flow or flow with the roll, however you want to say it. Let's jump over here and just identify some of these prophets. There's a Nabi. That's the name of this certain prophet, this type. This is the general Hebrew word for the prophet. It is linked with the word reveal. And it means one who proclaims, announces, declares, or utters communications, or is a spoken man or a herald. This word also implies a supernatural message that bubbles up or springs forth. Yep. Okay. Nabi is the word used in 1 Samuel 3:20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. And he goes on, he says, who brings forth messages contrary to God's character or will, obviously are, well, for a better way of saying it, masculine or feminine, they're false prophets. Then he goes on and he talks about a Rohi prophet. This one's interesting. Interesting that he would highlight that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so here's a Rohi. This is what Amos is. The Hebrew word means seer. These prophets see the circumstances and gain revelation on how to move past them. An example is found in 1 Samuel 9:9. Come, let us go to the seer. Perhaps the most understood of the prophetic types, seers are the ones who have visions or visual impressions. These type of prophets can look at something and receive a supernatural message through that image. By the way, that's what an MLK was. God asked many of the prophets in Scripture, what do you see? And the reason he asked what would you would see, because he was working with you to prophetically reveal something unto you. Chose, the Hebrew word can be translated as a seer who is akin to a watchman. According to the New Bible Dictionary, Chose was often mentioned in association with service to the reigning king. You have a shamar. This is another Hebrew word translated as watchman, a watchman. Okay, and these are the guys. These three primary Hebrew words in the Old Testament for watchmen are Natsar, Shamar, and Tespa. These words have both a defensive or protective connotation, an offensive or aggressive application, with the defensive aspect being the most prominent in the Scriptures. By the way, folks, prophets are very much that. They're very protective. They're very protective. Matter of fact, they're so protective, what they're trying to do is they're trying to tell you not to touch the fire because they don't want you to get burned. It's like when you tell a little kid, don't touch the fire. What does he want to do? He wants to touch the fire. But the prophet, when you go and you take a look at Jesus, and he talked about how those that were stoned, he said, I send prophets to you, but you stoned the prophets. And what did he say? He said, basically, I would have gathered you as the chicks to the mother hen, is the analogy. He said, but you would not. And then he begins to curse them for rejecting his protection. He said, you didn't know the time of your visitation. Prophets are very much that. Let me just bring that up again. Natsar, Shamar, and Tespa. These words have both a defensive or protective connotation and an offensive or aggressive application. That's right. With the defensive aspect being the most prominent in the Scriptures. Combining in the definition of these three words, which are almost used synonymously, Their defensive concept essentially means to guard or protect through watching over or concealing. That's right. That's the gifting. But that's the gifting that's misconstrued. When people don't discern that, they look at this as being the opposite of the way that you intended. If that wasn't the case, then why was Christ crucified? And why were the prophets stoned? Why were the apostles stoned? Why did they kill them? They weren't there to turn your world upside down. They were there to turn your spiritual world right side up. And that's what the gift does. These prophets watched after God's word and had tremendous wisdom for walking through life. Here are some of the examples. Then he goes over, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet, son of man. I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. It's always warning, warning, warning. Prophets are always warning, friends. Or to make distinction, how long will you falter between two opinions, said Elijah on Mount Carmel. Let's go to the next prophet, Nataph. This word, this Hebrew word means to preach, to drop as dew from heaven, or to speak by heavenly inspiration. This type of prophesying is generally done from a pulpit or in a public place, or as a prophetic word given in the form of an exhortation. Yep. So the word Nataph is used in Ezekiel 21:2, Amos 7:16, and Micah 2:6. The word deals with oozing or gradually dripping like a trickle from a faucet. So in Joel 3:18, the prophet predicted there would come a time when the mountain shall drip with new wine. This is also predicted again in Amos 9:13 concerning the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And as we get closer to David's tabernacle being restored, we will begin to see the heavens open wider and wider and God's people living in revelation. And then finally, the prophetees. This Greek word signifies one who speaks for another, especially one who speaks for God. These are prophets who forthtell, which means that they speak from a living message from God for that hour. In this context, the prophet is using interpretive gifts to forthtell the will and counsel of God. This word also signifies one who can foretell or give insights into future events. So in this context, the prophet is using predictive gifts. And this is the kind of prophet mentioned in Matthew 2:5, who had written that the Savior would come out of the city of Bethlehem. And by the way, folks, if you think prophets are a thing of the past, I would just ask you the question, how's that working out for the American church? And I would even equate the apostle into that lot. The apostle, the prophet, and the teacher, the real teacher, which work together. 1 Corinthians 12:28. First the apostle, then the prophet, and then the teacher. What do you have now? You have a pastor that shouldn't be leading up the church in any sense of the word. He is there to tend the flock. Who leads the way up? Who dispossesses? Who lays the foundation? The apostle and the prophet do. And what's missing in the American professed church? The apostle and the prophet. But what is God establishing and what has he established from the very get-go? Look at our signers. Don't sit there and tell me John Adams was not a prophet. You guys got to be out of your mind. Don't tell me Thomas Jefferson was not a real teacher. Don't tell me that, and by the way, let's just bring those three. Let's correlate them. What was George Washington?
He was definitely an apostle.
Oh, no question about it. So you have the apostle and the prophet, and you have the teacher.
Yep.
And they were all three working together. And guess what, friends? That's exactly the proper order in the way God establishes. Just like that. The apostle, the prophet, and the teacher. The apostle and the prophet and the teacher, they work together. They work together.
And that can be used in anything. I mean, even even secular circumstances.
You see it all the time.
And businesses.
Yes.
There's always the chief executive officer, then there's the chief operations officer, and then there's the bean counter guy. Seems like those three are in every mix. Well, that's because that's the way that God established things to grow.
How many times have we sat down with CEOs, Jake, and we find that that's an apostle? That's an apostolic dude.
Yep.
Folks, you got Bradley and Jake talking about prophets, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. We'll be right back after this break. 1-877-807-9977. One more shot.
Hey everyone, this is Jake, the other guy, with the Sons of Liberty, and we are sponsoring a 12-week constitutional course beginning Thursday, August 22nd, 2013. The location will be the Sons of Liberty headquarters in Minnesota and available by webinar. The cost is $150 per person and $30 each additional family member, and the value is priceless. Contact us at 866-233-0747 or go to sonsoflibertyradio.com, click on the constitutional course.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. Amino acids have to be delivered to your body in the shape that nature gave them if they are to be used to create new proteins in your body. Just like a bricklayer cannot use bent or twisted bricks to build a brick wall, so too your body cannot use bent or twisted amino acids to build new proteins. Giving your body an undamaged amino acid food can make a huge difference in your health. One World Way is an undamaged amino acid food unlike any other. You see, heating bends and twists amino acids, and all whey protein powders we've investigated, and most proteins you consume, are heated. With our True Cool process, you now have a choice with One World Way.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Way, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Wow. Socrates said, God takes away the minds of poets and uses them as his ministers, as he also uses diviners and holy prophets in order that we who hear them may know them to be speaking not of themselves who utter these priceless words in a state of unconsciousness, but that God himself is the speaker and that through them he is converting and conversing with us. That's awesome. Socrates.
Entire nations.
Yeah.
He knew what it was like to keep elected officials accountable, or some non-elected, actually.
Yeah.
But at that particular time, I would like to finish this verse in Amos, because it's talking about what happens, how a society degenerates, and why the prophets come. Amos was sent directly to the kings here. As a matter of fact, he was during the time of Isaiah as well. There was multiple prophets at different times through the Bible. You can study the timelines and the histories and things like that. But we just talked about how the people at that particular time, including the rich, those that were wealthy, but also the leaders, it summarizes this by saying of the people that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. And what that's saying is we're going to give them a false product that we know that they can't afford to defend. So we'll give them bad wheat, selling as though it's good wheat, because they can never take us to court. And I bring these analogies because they are so certain in this day and age. A preacher's job is to speak out against these issues.
Yes.
One of the things that we had, in just touring the South and the North, we've been all over the country. There's different denominations in different areas. Different people deal with them differently. But one thing is for certain, that if the preacher does not confront these evils in society, don't think the evil is going to.
Yeah.
And just how you brought the correlation that George Washington being apostolic, very much so. John Adams being very prophetic as a prophet to declare we need independence.
Colossus
enough deliberating.
Of independence, yeah.
That's right, enough
yes.
deliberating.
Yes.
Look, the dice has already been cast. We see what the British are doing to their subjects. This is not going to change. Therefore, we need a decisive decision. And that's what he brought across. And then thirdly, Thomas Jefferson, a teacher, to be able to orchestrate, okay, now that we have independence, now that we have an apostle that has fought for it, now we need to understand, okay, yep. Where do we go from here? Otherwise, we're going to fall to pieces and kill each other. And that was what was happening with the dominant personalities. They started fighting each other. We just got independence, guys. We don't need to fight each other anymore with our ideas and our values. We need to implement structures so the people can rightly govern themselves. But then you'll notice that when that foundation corrodes, which it has been in this country easily for the past 50, 60 years, it's corroded to the point where the preachers have to step up to the plate again and reestablish, because we, the people, in the end game, oftentimes become the victim of those type of administrations. The reason that we do is because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When we leave off God and we leave off Christ in every aspect of our life, government included, education included, and our religion included, then it will start to turn back on us, and it's a curse that is welcome.
Let me interject. I want to get your thoughts in 2 seconds here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the pastor martyr under Hitler's regime, said the fearful danger of the present time is that above the cry for authority, we forget that man stands alone before the ultimate authority, and that anyone who lays violent hands on man here is infringing eternal laws and taking upon himself superhuman authority, which will eventually crush him.
Yeah.
That's the recompense for rejecting the word of what God's prophets, apostles, teachers lay in foundation. And we're seeing that in America today. What were your thoughts?
Oh, just when you had said in the previous segment about George Washington being the apostle, John Adams being the prophet in that situation, and Jefferson being the teacher, I had never thought about those three giftings working together, but it's just so interesting how the Lord put those giftings together in unison to establish the foundation of our country. You had, you know, the prophet hammering it out in the floor with the Congress, constantly, you know, bringing forth that line and putting it to the people. You had the apostle, George Washington, acting it out. And you had Thomas Jefferson, the teacher, putting to words all that their actions were acting out to establish our country.
Yeah, I don't think you can get away from it. Because, again, people, when you begin to study those guys, they acknowledge that the father of our country was an apostle. He's very apostolic. You should have seen God gave commandment to protect George Washington's backside, friends. You need to see the history of that man. The same thing with John Adams. He was divinely protected, too. And look at the price that that man paid. Look at how evil men spoke of him, when in fact he was the one, through sacrifice, laying down his life just as much as George Washington was, by going over to France and leaving his family 3 years at a time. And, you know, Abigail said there's a cost of love. But, I mean, when you begin to look at, and then the Thomas Jeffersons of the world, I mean, wow, folks, the awful price that these men paid to give us what we have today. There is no question that God did not establish through the church what we are today. And here's another point. What was the forerunners to our forefathers? The Puritan preachers preaching the message, and the black regiment that were surrounding and establishing and warning the colonies of the tyrant, King George, the great tyrant. Yeah,
without the pulpits, there would have been no way. No education to the people, because the pulpits were literally responsible for that. Whether it came in public, I suppose you could call it the public education, not the government education, but the public education of the day. But then also daily, and oftentimes, well, bi-weekly for sure, and then the circuit preachers as well. All the preachers instilled in the hearts of people liberty. Where does liberty come from? It comes from God and from God's throne. Where does happiness come from? That comes from God and from God's throne. If we abide by his rule book, if we abide by his law, we will have that happiness.
Yeah.
When we walk away from that, we don't. But without those preachers, it would have never been possible, because the soldiers in Washington's army were members of congregations. Because those that stood in the government, that put their name on that document called the Declaration of Independence, I'd even say in some regards, those that were traveling back and forth overseas were in a more perilous position than maybe even Washington himself, because if their boat got struck, guess what? The British got them. They could disappear off the face of the earth. Yeah. No one would have ever even known about what happened. So at that particular time, God set this stage perfectly. And going back to the beginning, Whitfield and the Great Awakening, if it wasn't for men like that, that would bring together those colonies, because we were so separated. Britain would have just picked off each colony one at a time. That's what happened. And if that would have happened, we would have never had the resistance that we had right now. Because preachers came in and said, listen, the Bible is the basis. Not your opinion of what it says, but the Bible is the basis. Mm-hmm. And Christ ordained liberty. And this tyrant is trying to bring idolatry in and get you to worship him, the creature, rather than the creator.
That's why he's at war with God. Quick.
And interesting, too, when you're reading off the prophet, if you look at John Adams, He was the most despised by the Congress. Yep, he was the Colossus of Independence. He was always the most irritating to everyone. But had it not been for his fortitude and his, you know, driving home the point that we need independence and irritating people and getting under their skin, we would have never had our independence.
Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. And how did God slay people? With the sword. Talking about the spiritual sword, friends. Just don't want any weirdos out there trying to, you know, try to bring that into something that I'm not saying. Exactly. And when in fact God sent his prophets to slay in the book of Hosea. And that's exactly what John Adams did. You know, so I can see why people are agitated with him. I really can.
Well, even look at that before it. His brother, Samuel Adams. Without the Sons of Liberty.
There's another one.
There wouldn't John Adams.
No
question about it. He was part of the instrumental cause of prodding John Adams into his calling.
So they were smart prophets.
Go back. And here's another thing. Samuel Adams was known as the last of the Puritans. This man was a religious man. He was a Christian man. That's what drove him. There's only one thing that can push, and I get some people are pushy, some people are pressy, but I'll tell you what, when you're in a providential realm, which these men were, it's the Spirit of Christ that does that. Benjamin Franklin said, we have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, speaking of the Bible, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. There it comes again out of the mouth of a man who has surrendered in this endeavor to the Spirit of Christ, understanding that without God, this is going nowhere. Without divine providence, it's going nowhere. This isn't a case of mysterious things that have fallen into place, and now all of a sudden we have it.
Oh, they didn't?
It wasn't an accident.
It didn't blow into existence.
It wasn't evolved.
Yeah.
I mean, this was meticulously put together by a creator.
Yep. Gotcha.
Our country right now and our cause, folks, lays in that balance daily. It's not a scare tactic. It's reality. We have the choice day and night to make it and to choose this day whom we're going to serve as a nation. You know, Reinhard Bonnke, you said before, I believe God will save America. He will only save it through the tireless efforts of his people that Amen. Are converted unto him. There's no other way.
Amen.
And folks, if you are a son or daughter of liberty that are out there listening
well,
right
people
now.
People that don't deserve the liberty.
Of course not.
Yes.
And they're not going to inherit it. It'll
yes.
be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Again, those of you that are sons and daughters of liberty out there right now, maybe it's your first time listening. We encourage you to become a part of that movement. Become a son or daughter of liberty. Go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you like to support ministries, if you feel God has called you to donate because you can't get out there on the front lines per se in this type of specific work because you work, you have a job, you have a family, etc., then support us so that we can. Make your tax-deductible donation at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Every single week we get more and more feedback. Here's just a little small one. Anthony Scott Brown on Facebook Facebooked in and said, I love what you do. Keep up the good work. We're able to do that, folks, because of your support. Again, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Make a tax-deductible donation. Get some of the product. That's another way to support us. Become a product partner. Or become a son or daughter of liberty. Get your certificate. Sport it on your wall, on your desk at work. Listen to the show. And you know what, folks? Do your part and be encouraged and be engaged. Because without being engaged, there is no encouragement.
There is no freedom anywhere where Christianity has not been first demonstrated.
So the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty.
Amen. You got Bradley and Jake, Sons of Liberty Radio.com. We'll talk to you in 23. You got Bradley and Jake. Talk to you in 23. See ya.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.